propaganda, the latest in hip-hop dissent, right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Right, seriously, yeah. Guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really big.
Message erased.
Thank you. but you got a heart so big it could crush this town, and I can't hold out forever. Even walls fall down, baby. You got a heart so big it could crush this town, and I can't hold out forever. Even walls fall down.
Gonna let that play, let it sink in. You know, we lost Tom Petty. We haven't talked about it since, but we lost Tom Petty. Florida native.
Really?
Yeah, Gainesville.
Oh, I was born in Gainesville.
I know. You don't care. You didn't care about Tom Petty.
I mean, I didn't really. I wasn't the biggest fan of his, but
I cried. I cried when he died.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a whole day of going back and forth of like, is he dead? Is he not dead? Everyone was saying he was dead. And then his like daughter would come out and be like, you idiots, he's not dead. Thanks a lot. It was pretty rough.
He really was dead.
He was dead. He was, apparently he like survived the day, but he was like brain dead for most of the day. That ain't good. Ugh. Well, we are Dave and Giggles. I am Dave and Giggles is over there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
We are with you for the next hour on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're just hanging out. We got some things to talk about. We took last week off. I was up in the Catskills, where the changes of colors of trees were a really big deal. You know? Really big deal.
A lot of people up there. Leafing? Do they call it leafing?
I think they call it leafers, like a bunch of leafers that go up there. I think so. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty funny. I mean, it was just like a bunch of, I think I talked to you a little bit about it, but we go up there and it was for, you know, our really good friend's wife's and kid's birthday. They're both around the same day, October like 4th or something. And the kid was there. He's 2. And there was like 15 adults. So there's like 15 adults and 1 2-year-old.
Yeah.
That kid gets treated better than anyone in the world at that moment.
Because everybody wants a little time with the kid.
Right. Everybody wants to play with the kid. I'm going to put my phone over there. It's going to make some noise.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I think it's the phone that makes that noise.
It does.
I turned mine off because I didn't want any, you know, any distractions. Just you and me, buddy, for the next hour.
Just me and you. I do want to, one thing.
Just me and you.
I was on my way in today, and someone from my high school, who I don't really talk to really much at all, she sent me a Facebook message and said it was a GoFundMe page. And I emailed her back and I was like, yo, if you want to call in and talk about it, we're more than welcome to host, you know, your GoFundMe. And she was like, legally, I don't think it's the best idea. Maybe another time. But allegedly she got hospitalized from an assault. And she's like trying to go through this. She's got to go through some therapy or something. Like it really like affected her really bad. So it's pretty wild. So I told her I would throw that out for her. So I think if you go to support for Tammy on GoFundMe, you can support Tammy and see what that's all about. But maybe one day when legality hits and she's allowed to talk about it, then we'll have her on because. Women
got to give a little bit more information. Tammy,
you want me to read it?
M's, T-A-M-I.
Support.
Like 100 Tammys.
Support for Tammy, T-A-M-M-I-E. And I'll look up the exact.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
You wouldn't have guessed that. Let's see. It's like a really long GoFundMe page. But GoFundMe, Justice for Tammy.
Justice physically assaulted, sexually assaulted.
I'll read a little bit of
it. A little bit of both.
A little bit. I don't know I don't think she gives too much because of legality. But like, Tammy was a victim of an assault that sent her to the hospital. While she has since physically recuperated, this trauma event had left her with emotional scars, and now she's going under therapy. Very stressful time for her family. She's got a bunch of kids, and there's medical bills and therapy bills and all this stuff. And you know, that's pretty much what it says on the GoFundMe. I told her I would throw it out there.
Right.
If you want to go over there,
not the
justice
best pitch
for Tammy.
Not the best GoFundMe pitch.
Well, I wanted her to come on and talk about, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can't what happen happened? Right now. But I told her I would do it. So there it is.
All right. All right. That wasn't a terrible plug.
Yeah, exactly.
Tammy, well, geez, speaking of assault.
There's a lot of assaults happening
out of Hollywood. It's a big surprise, right? Because that stuff never happens in Hollywood, right?
It never happens in Hollywood.
I was just joking.
It never happens in Hollywood. I mean, there's a big push now.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, he is a piece of shit. And the funny thing is, like, the big controversy surrounding Harvey Weinstein is that, like, everyone knew about it. Why didn't anybody do anything about it? That's a tough situation. Exactly. Well, it's also a tough situation where it's like, you know, like, you don't want to, like, you see something that happens or you, like, hear rumors of it. And, like, do you really want to risk something, your job or your livelihood or something, on a rumor? You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
one
of the most powerful men in Hollywood. I mean, I think this, and what was I, somebody was saying, you know, oh, well, it's different with Trump. You know, Trump didn't do anything like this. And I was like, yeah, I think he probably did. You know?
Oh, he definitely did. He definitely did. He had so many people, you know, with the assault allegations and sexual assault allegations. It's unreal. But for some reason, how does he beat it? How does he beat it?
I don't know. So Harvey, I guess, like, there was at least eight women that he paid over the course of a few, you know, many years to keep them quiet.
Right.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That almost sounds like you got a problem.
Well, did you hear the audio clip of the setup sting? I do not have it ready.
No.
There was a setup.
No, you should have that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. But
well, basically, he was kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm done. When they asked him about it, wasn't he like, oh, yeah, what have you heard?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Like, he didn't deny it.
He didn't deny it, no. He pretty much was like, I'm going to get therapy. I'm going to get help. I know I fucked up. And that's pretty much how it went. But the interesting thing is, a lot of people are also saying that a lot of people had to have known about it because the company paid out these women. So therefore, that's in the books as far as, let me see if I can find this clip.
All right.
You're not going to say anything? You're just going to, all right, let's see if we can.
Well, I didn't really have anything to say.
Yeah, I figured.
Finding the
you
right
know,
words can be a little overwhelming.
You listening to an ad?
No, I'm trying to turn it down. Here, skip ad. Here we go.
Skip ad.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you. Now you're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing.
I don't want
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
Sit with me. I promise.
Please sit there. Please. Mm. 1 minute.
No,
I ask you. Go to the bathroom.
Please. I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
Honey, don't have a fight with me in the hall.
It's not nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you can go. Why yesterday you touched my breast?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
But you're used to that?
Yes, come in.
Used to that.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here.
All right, cut it. I don't want to listen anymore of this.
It's pretty rough, right?
So wait.
No,
it's pretty much over.
So this is a sting operation in the hotel?
So, yeah, I watched the other really wild thing. I'll give you a little background. so the guy who reported on this is a guy from the New Yorker. And he, if you look at him, I can't remember his name, but he looks like he's 15 years old. It's amazing that guy. This guy broke this story. But so basically what happened is this woman was sexually assaulted by Parvi. He grabbed her breast and was like really aggressive towards her. She walked out. She got out of there and went straight to the police. While in the police department, department in downtown, he was calling her. He was calling her and calling her and calling her. And his secretary was calling her and was like, come back, come back, come back. And they were like, well, this is a great opportunity. Do you feel comfortable enough if we mic you? You go back. And that's pretty much what happened. So that's why he was apologizing for what he'd already done and stuff like
that.
So it was a sting operation.
Yeah, don't embarrass me.
Don't embarrass me.
Don't embarrass me.
Because he knew that he fucked up.
Jeez.
He was trying to write
it. What a weasel.
He is such a weasel. Such a weasel.
Yeah.
It would actually be really good. I'm going to actually see if I can get Deb on because this is a really good point because she's a big proponent of sex, not being a disease.
Sex addiction. It's not a sex addiction. Don't blame it on us. He's just get Deb to call in. We should have done this before.
I'm gonna call him text her right now.
He's a caller?
No, I'm gonna just have her text. See if she can. Well, go ahead. What were we gonna say?
If you want to call in, 718-928-9732. The phone lines are open. We're taking your calls. If you got an opinion on this. Which we sure do.
We sure do.
This guy's a weasel.
He's a weasel. He's a weasel.
He's a weasel.
But I mean, so is Trump. So is Trump. All right, go ahead. Yeah, you were at a birthday party. You're at a birthday party.
Well, I think when you have that, I'm at a birthday party and I'm talking to this other guy. He's a doctor as well. We're talking about Trump and all this stuff. And, these things are, I said, you know what? The one good thing that's happening from this sort of, I'm trying to take a positive, route from this whole political crisis we're in now. And I said, it made me go back to every sort of encounter I've ever had with a female. And then like, was that consensual? Was I in the right? Were we in the right? Everything on the up and up,
Things are going through your head? Like what questionable things do you have running through your head?
No, I don't have questions. But I went back onto all my sort of encounters and was like, all right, did I do the right thing? Was I, did I cross the line?
Right. I mean, did you come up with any where you were like, that's a little gray area? Or you're been relatively pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a pretty,
But I mean, are a creep. You're a stalker a little bit. You like to stalk on the interwebs. I mean, do you feel like that goes over the line?
Yeah, no, I don't stalk. What are you talking about stalking on the interwebs?
I had you for a second.
Yeah. No, I did almost look at this one LinkedIn profile, but then I was like, wait, if I click on that, then this person will know that I looked at their profile.
Is that the way it works with LinkedIn?
MySpace was. Yeah, that happens on LinkedIn. If you can't be stalking people on
LinkedIn.
That's
not good for me.
Because it'll be like, Dave viewed
this. He viewed this like 14 times.
From the hours of 1 to 3 p.m.
Yeah, I remember MySpace would tell you like when's the last time this person checked you out, right? Or is that how that happened? I can't even remember.
No, it was the last login.
Last login.
24 hours. Right.
Well, that is also true of like if you text somebody and be like, "Hey, what's happening?" You don't hear back from them, but then you see they post like an Instagram, you're like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
What the fuck? We live in a perpetual society. Where stalking
is notices that it's red.
Yeah.
It's a red message.
Right.
So they know you got the message.
But
oh man.
They didn't do anything.
So a buddy
about
of mine is a single guy.
All right.
We're kind of downgrading our conversation.
Sure.
But so he's a single guy and he's on the Tinders and the Bumbles and the whatnots, as I'm sure a lot of men are. But that sort of passed me, back when I was getting engaged, married, we didn't even have that
stuff. That's before your time.
So he's like right. So we're sitting there after a wedding and having a beer. And he's like, you want to take a couple swipes? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? So I went through it.
Going
and I was swiping,
through.
Swipe. Yeah. I was pretending I was single.
Right.
And I was like, all right, swiping right, swiping left, And it was funny that the girls, the common theme I saw with most of these girls was their profile pic of them on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing. These Colorado girls, hey, I'm, some of them were out drinking, but a lot of times they were like, I'm on top of a mountain. you know, hiking.
Right.
You know?
But I mean, this Tinder society is an extension of a Facebook society where you want people to see you in your best light. And what's better than conquering a mountain or petting a tiger or doing something that, like, oh man, if I was with that person, I would also be doing that. It would be great.
We could climb mountains together.
It will be so fantastic. But, like, how often do people climb mountains? Not that often, you know?
Well, I haven't done it in a couple of years. It almost killed me. I did it twice. And on the way back down, I'm fine. And then that night, I got such altitude sickness. I felt like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah,
so I think it's better because I'm a little bit more acclimated to the altitude.
Right.
It's been, you know, that was my first year of living in Colorado. I was like, oh, let's climb a couple mountains.
Right.
So I think now I'd be okay, but
yeah.
Maybe.
I got a really funny, speaking of single people, I was on the subway the other day, and then Friday I left my headphones at work, so I had to take the subway without headphones, and I had to listen to people, and it's always such a torture, but I think, like, going through that motion, I'm like, I should do this once or twice a week, because I'm going to get a whole bunch of stories, because it's so crazy. So there was this couple, or like this like 20 to 25 year old guy and girl on the subway, and I was pretty much just writing down what they were saying, and the girl goes, I love New York because I'm single. The guy goes, story of my life. And the girl goes, I know I'm gonna be single for a while. And he was like, I know, it's so frustrating, right? And she was like, no, it's great. And he was just like, he was trying so hard, but he had been friend zoned, and he was trying to, like, just be like, look at me, look, we can hook up. But it was just not happening, and she didn't give a shit at all. It was
once
really
your friend
funny.
Zone. That's it, dude.
Yeah,
that's it. That would be if I were to tell my younger self, you know, my 14-year-old, I want to say post-pubescent. As you're growing up, you're going through puberty, and you're just, you know, sweating girls all the time.
Sure.
I should have cast a bigger net, because I think I had one girl in high school that I just, like, was obsessed with.
Right.
You know, and I should have just been like, no, she's not interested in me. You know,
but
move
I mean,
on.
You look,
and there was other fish. There was other fish
of
in the
school. Of course, there are.
I could have been.
Of course, there know. Are.
Yeah, but I mean, terrible looking.
But
you know, I had acne.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a. Well, that's true. Yeah, probably.
But I mean, there's something about a teenage brain that is driven to obsession, where you know, like, whatever it is, it's mostly girls or boys, but, like, you find someone that, like, you automatically put on a pedestal, and they're like, they are absolutely 100% perfect. They are the most perfect human being that has ever existed. Anything they do is so great, and, like, your obsession with that person is, like, and then who wants to be someone around someone who's obsessed with them like that?
Oh no.
So they never it never works out, right? So it just becomes a total mishandled, mismanaged thing that just becomes a total heartbreak. But if it's true, like, if you were able to, and I don't think it's possible, to be able to cast a wide net for a whole bunch of girls, you'd probably do really, really well, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really difficult. I remember I was in, it must have been like eighth grade, and we were out on the playground, and we were playing baseball or something. And I think me and John Massetta were, like, fawning over this one girl. And this kid comes up to us and was pretty much said exactly what you're talking about. He was like, listen, you just got to go after all the girls, or at least go talk to her over there.
Yeah.
And we were like, meh, you know, like, and then he was like, watch this. And we started walking back in from the outside. And he's like, goes up to a girl. He's like, hey, you want to hang out this weekend? And then she'd be like, no, that's gross. And then he'd do it to, like, five other girls all the way inside. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how? That's amazing. Yeah. Like,
All right. This is a kind of creepy story. So they were like 14 or 15. Me and these two other guys that I used to rollerblade with are in this pool with this other girl. And she's like, and I guess, you know, we all kind of, you know, secretly had a crush on her.
Uh-huh.
But she goes around to each of us. She's like, wait a minute. So all of you guys like me right now? And we're like, yeah. And she's like, this is weird.
That's really weird.
To have to have three dudes. Yeah, we're all swimming. We're all friends or whatever. But she's like, wait a minute. So all of you guys like me right now? And I, you know, of course, we're 14, 15. You know, right. You know.
That's creepy. In bathing suits. Everybody's in bathing suits at the pool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally.
God, that's awkward.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's funny, the awkward stuff that comes up when you're thinking about life. And you're like, man, I was so awkward then.
I know.
You know?
I think that's, in essence, what makes people crazy. Because, like, if you think about, like, people in the street, like, who are insane, they're muttering to themselves. And I think it's just a compounded thing of, like, things, embarrassments or things that they did not see going their way that have just built up into their mind where they're just like, I should have said this, I should have said, and then they just, like, lose their fucking mind and they just relive everything that just happened to them in a horrible way over and over and over again.
Did I tell you I tell you the jewelry store girl on air, or did I tell it to you on the phone?
I don't remember.
Because this is another another creepy story. So this girl I met at the ski resort when I was like 15 or whatever. Was I 15? Yeah. All right. So I met her at the ski resort when I was 15 or whatever, and had a big crush on her. You know, it was the vacation romance. You're there for a week.
Sure.
And you find the cutest girl in the lodge, and you're like, hey,
summer let's or winter hang out. Romance. Right. The break romance.
So, you know, so we're hanging out. We go skiing, you know, like, a few years later, we become pen pals and we're writing back and forth. And turns out when I was 18, I was in DC, which is where she was from. And so, like, I had emailed her, called her and was just like, hey, so I'm going to be in DC. You know, lived close to there. And I was like, listen, I'm going to be in town, blah, blah, you know, just pumping it up for months. And she's like, yeah, I really don't think, you know, I'm really busy. I don't really think it's a good idea. Of course, I didn't get the hint.
No.
I get the hint. But of course, I didn't get the hint.
Right.
And, you know, I found out that she worked at this jewelry store in a mall. You know? I didn't know which mall. I didn't know which mall.
No.
But I was like, one of the days that, you know, I had free to myself, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go find her.
Oh,
you know?
No. Terrible. Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. So I was like, I you know, mapped the closest mall that I thought was, you know, where she would work, and went to every jewelry store expecting to, like, surprise her, which, thank God, she wasn't there, because that would have been super awkward.
You never found her?
Never found her.
But that would have been so good. But, like, what is going through your head where you've already been told, like, we shouldn't hang out? And then you go, no, you're wrong. I'm coming to you.
Yeah. Well, I think she didn't really tell it to me. She was trying to be nice and be like, listen, this is not going to work out. I don't want to see you. But she didn't say that.
She didn't say it.
She was like, you know, I'm kind of sick. I'm, you know, feeling under the weather, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm working a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And then so the end of the story is I went to every jewelry store in the mall. And at the end of it, I was like, well, shit, like, she's not here. And I didn't really have I don't know if I took a bus there. I just didn't really have a way to get back to the train.
Yeah.
So I ended up finding this older couple that must have been like 19 or 20. And I was like, hey, do you think you guys could give me a ride back to the train station? And they're like, yeah, sure. And that was the first official time that I've ever sort of quote unquote hitchhiked or just caught a ride with like a total stranger, which could have been bad too.
Yeah,
this
totally.
Whole thing, looking back on it as an adult, you know, would have been like, A, it's kind of creepy.
It's super creepy.
Super creepy.
It's super creepy.
B could have gotten killed.
Yeah. How old were you? 15?
No, I was 18.
You were 18. So you should have known better by then.
Well, no, actually, I was 17. 17. Yeah, it was the summer after graduating high school.
But you do some stupid, stupid shit when you're young. And like you're just like trying anything. You're just throwing shit at the wall. But I mean, I talked about this a couple weeks ago where I was like, I want to do a podcast that's entirely based on the Wonder Years. So every episode is a new podcast. We can just talk about the Wonder Years. But there's an episode where he goes to summer in the woods and he meets a summer fling. And then like later he has trouble with Winnie and he goes back to see her. And she's like, what are you doing here, dude? Like, why did you come back? I didn't want you to come back. And that's a story of like every kid's life. There's moments you have with people. And then you should just let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Oh, man. 718-928-9732. If you've got an awkward story of when you were younger, that's what we're talking about here. We're getting off the heavy stuff, the Weinsteins and the Trumps. We're just going to
talk more. I mean, we got more.
Personal self-deprecating humor.
That's pretty good. I mean,
You got to laugh at yourself.
You got to laugh at yourself.
You got to be like, all right, that was weird.
Right.
You know, move on.
Move on. Well, remember we were talking about the cheerleaders? Remember the cheerleading videos where they that guy was like torturing the cheerleaders?
Oh, well, all right. Give us a little context. He was stretching them out.
Yeah, he was like stretching them.
They were doing stretches.
Injuring them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the principal and the athletic director of the school have retired and resigned, and the gym that coach had been fired, but no criminal charges have been filed for anybody. So, like, they're basically saying, they're gone, let's just move on with our lives. There's no criminal charges, which is pretty crazy, since there was video proof of, like, that shit right. going down.
Yeah. Oh, this is another thing that... Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard when, like... There's, I mean, there is video proof of it, but they're like putting my lawyer pants on here. You know, there isn't, you don't know if there's like severe damage now.
Right.
You know, like
right.
if she's injured now.
Sure.
This was also years ago. So that kind of like, so let me ask you this. This is a sort of a, I had a questionable outcome on the verdict.
All right.
Of this story. Recently, he got sentenced to 81 years in prison, this Oof. Guy. So basically, he was in Denver and he was illegally growing pot in his backyard. And this 14-year and 15-year-old kid hopped the fence, and they were stealing the pot plants.
Who wouldn't?
And the dude, from the second story of his house, shot both Ooh. Kids. One of them died, and one of them got hospitalized.
So he got 81 years.
He got 81 years because he killed. I mean, he killed a kid.
Yeah.
Like A, you don't kill a kid.
Right.
But B, it kind of comes to the whole like private property. These guys were on his property. You know, I mean, granted, stealing weed. So I mean, it's like. He was probably already in the wrong for growing weed, but like,
right.
And two, you could have given him a warning shot or said, you know, get the F off my
right.
property.
Exactly.
But he just basically shot and killed a kid. So
he shot and killed a kid. I mean, that's really rough. It's really rough to shoot and kill a kid. I mean, it's property rights are an interesting thing. Cause like, sure. Did he own the property or was he a renter? That makes a difference too.
I think he owned it.
He owned it.
Yeah,
that's really tough. I mean, like gun laws and all that stuff. Should he have been able to defend his property? But then again, were these kids really threatening his life or
his
safety
life. Yeah, yeah.
or anything like that? And right. it doesn't sound like it. So if I'm going to put my lawyer pants on, which they're very short, very short, I would say he probably deserves 81 years or at least like some time to really like think about what he's done. Because that's what jail is all about, really.
Well, I mean, if you catch somebody breaking into your car, you can't beat the shit out of them. You know, you can, because they're not actually, it's not, you know, they're not, what do you call it? Coming to kill you. You know
right.
what I'm saying? They're
right.
just breaking into your car. Even people that have had their houses broken into, you know, and fought back and killed the dude,
right.
you know, or injured them have gotten sued, which is messed up.
It is pretty messed up. I mean, the whole law. Lawyers in general, if we just got rid of them, we would be happier. Would it be a better society if we just got rid of lawyers?
Maybe. I mean, you need them in some cases, but a lot of times they're just
frivolous.
Ambulance chasers. Yeah.
Totally.
And I think a lot of people just don't want to go to court because they get bogged down in the fees. You know, lawyers are like $250 an hour. Even if you're in the right and you have to defend yourself, that's still coming out of your pocket. Nobody's paying for your legal fees.
No. No, that's why Justice for Tammy, TAMMIE, she's trying to recoup some, you know, medical expenses and her trials and stuff.
Yeah.
Go fund me, Justice for Tammy. See, throwing that in there.
What's his butt in here? Remember Aaron Lavigne, the musician?
I do remember Aaron,
So a few years ago, he was out near Port Authority with his girlfriend and some dudes, like, I guess, threw a can or something at his girlfriend, and Aaron was like, "Hey, what's up with that, man?" Guys beat the shit out of him.
Really?
You know, like broke his hand, messed him all up and stuff like
damn.
That. And I think they caught one of the guys or something. They went to court. I don't know the whole story about this. Which is why I probably shouldn't be telling it, but you know, basically you know, nothing was done. Kind of like, "All right, yeah, these guys are guilty, but like, you know, can you prove anything?" And, you know, just a big mess. But
I mean, if it's in Port Authority,
gang of dudes
is rough.
Jimmy,
Jimmy, yeah, I remember
old school Jimmy.
Yeah,
he was walking in Astoria, and this group of high school kids, like, they were walking by him, and one of them just hit him in the back of the head. What's Jimmy gonna do?
Nothing.
He can't go up against like eight high school kids.
Well, that's the same thing with our friend Ryan. He was on his way home, and he got like held up at gunpoint by a bunch of teenagers. You know,
Was it teenagers?
Well, it was like, I think it was like early 20s, late teens. He said they were young. They were young enough to like, you know, be stupid with a gun, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it was, I feel like it wasn't even, that's when you're like, ah, my life's not worth it. Or my life is worth it, you know? My life's not worth it. No, like my stuff, my phone, my wallet, it's not worth my life. But like, you want to be like, man, is that loaded, dude? Come on.
I know.
Is that really loaded?
Most likely not, you know? But
probably not.
Probably not. But you never know. I mean, you're putting your life at risk wondering that if it is or not. So, I mean, you just got to be like, what do you want? You want my phone? Here's my phone. You want my wallet? Here's my wallet. And then move on.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do? You're going to try to fight them? You can't fight them.
No.
I've never been held up. Have you ever been held up or anything like that?
No, I've had my house broken into when I was in college, but that was it. I've never been like, and I've had my van broken into a lot of times. So, yeah, I mean, I've been robbed. I've been a victim of, like, you know, robbery a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But I've never actually been
held up.
Physically robbed.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Which is weird.
My grandma did. My grandma in Fort Lauderdale, she was like 70 something and she was, you know, getting her keys out of her purse to get into her door. And some dude came up behind her and like pulled, and she fought him off, but like basically took her purse, you know? But she, you know, grandma puts up a fight. You know, she didn't care if she goes down. But the guy, like, you know, pushed her and she busted up her shoulder.
Jeez. Was that your mom's mom or your dad's?
What's that?
Your mom's mom or your dad's mom?
Mom's mom.
Ooh, she was a tough one. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I'll, you know how a lot of people got a problem with Guy Fieri?
I do. Well, although, like, I did see that he served up a bunch of meals for people from
served
the hurricane.
Up a bunch of meals.
So, I mean, he is, you know, he's a good guy. And
he's trying.
You know, he's a victim of his own Hollywoodization, I guess.
Right. He escaped his own house and then cooked up a giant feast for Santa Rosa, all the fire victims. You got to give him credit for that.
Oh, this is the fire.
Yeah,
this
for the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there's so many natural disasters now. I don't even know what's happening.
There's so many. I mean, if they're you know, not in Trump's country, nobody really cares about them. Caller, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, it's Deb.
Deb. What's going on, Deb?
Not much. What's going on with you guys?
Long time no talk. We're just hanging out. You doing a radio show? You know how we do.
Yeah, we're trying to put our finger on this. Maybe that's not the right verbiage for this, but this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. People are acting like this is, you know, this is normal, this is normal, right? This happens all the time. And you're saying it's not a sex addiction. This guy's got a mental illness.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as as a therapist, you have to have a diagnosis code. There is no diagnosis code, so only the wealthy can go to these sex addiction places because you won't get reimbursed by insurance. They can afford to go there.
Right. But, I mean, he's a different case altogether. When it was like David Duchovny went to one, he was cheating on his wife, but he wasn't abusing women. Like, Harvey is like, he should just go to jail. Like, at this point, right? I mean, he should just go to jail. There's no, like, oh, let's just get this guy help. No, we got to send this guy to jail. He's that far gone.
Yeah, but where's the proof? I mean, honestly, I'm so busy in my office, I don't even know the details. I just know, is there proof or is it he said, she said?
I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs either. I've read the articles and read the New Yorker, and it seems like they have a good amount of substantial proof. They set up a sting. They went back and he admitted, like, groping her on audio. So, like, they have some stuff. So, I don't know. You know, you can't tell before it goes to trial if it's going to do anything, any harm to him. But I feel like they have enough to go to a trial to, like, indict him to some degree.
They had 50 women for Cosby. And what's he doing? He's not in jail.
Well, interesting thing about Cosby is that it was a mistrial. So, essentially, they're set to do another trial in spring. But he was acting like he got off, like he was innocent. But no, it was just a mistrial and they have to go back.
Right. Right. Have you seen the thing that's all over Facebook, all the women saying Me Too?
No. Explain that, Deb.
Please copy and paste this on your wall.
Yeah, I've seen those.
if all the women who have been sexually harassed wrote Me Too as their status, then everyone can see how pervasive it is, and it's all over the place.
It is.
Sexually harassed, groped, in some way, as a woman feeling sexually harassed.
Yeah, and I get
it. I mean, it happens to everybody. Good God, I mean, it happens to a lot of women. I think you'd, I don't want to throw out numbers here, but probably 85% of women have probably been sexually harassed.
Right. Well, it's like 1 in 5 women get sexually harassed on college campuses, something along those lines. So it's like, it's a good high number of harassment. And in the workplace, I'm sure it's probably even higher because it's a long, long thing where they're there all day and they're surrounded by all these people and people get attached or, you know, there's feelings or whatever's going to happen. I'm sure there's tons more in the workplace.
But, oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, back in my day, I mean, there were no laws against it. You know, anyone could touch you. Anyone could say anything to you.
Right. Right, exactly, which is, this is that was pretty much Harvey's defense of being like, well, where my time, this was fine, which is the worst defense even imaginable.
But, so here's what we need to do.
All right.
And this, I've been telling them this a lot because Deb is a sex therapist, and we're here. We got to do some sex education videos for kids that are going to teach them about, like, this is how you treat a woman. This is how you treat the opposite sex. This is, I think, like, there needs to be some, like, good PSAs on how to treat people, right? Am I wrong here?
I think the first PSA should be to women to empower them to how to expect to be treated.
Right.
You know, it's nice to tell the guys, but, you know, women, there's no sex education for women. It's you're either a slut or you're frigid. That's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is. I know people who do sex education, and there is. It's just not really widespread, and people don't know it exists.
It's not in schools.
Right, it's not in schools. Well, that's a product of, like, this kind of, like, conservative mentality where, like, we shouldn't talk about sex in schools. But on the contrary, we should be talking about sex as openly as possible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But here's my question to you, Deb. So I wanted to get your opinion on this, and I kind of have a feeling I know where it's going, but I just want to hear it. Woody Allen came out and said, we know that Harvey did wrong, but we can't take this into, like, a major witch hunt.
the warlock.
Exactly. I mean, which is really funny coming from Woody Allen. If I were Woody Allen, I'd be like, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Exactly. Yes, I will marry my
daughter. Don't say anything.
Don't say a word. But, like, I mean, to some extent, like, it's going to be interesting because it's going to, like, it's now going to be in pop culture of being like, let's really address that elephant in the room of, you know, sexual harassment in the workplace, and, like, guys are going to be on their tippy toes, which I think in the end is probably a good thing. I think men should be kind of cautious about how they act, right?
Yeah, but a lot of what Harvey Weinstein did wasn't just sexual harassment. I mean, he, you know, masturbated into a potted plant.
Why?
That's power.
That's weird. Hold on.
It must have been a really hot plant, though. Like, good curves, right? That's what we're talking about.
In front of this is what I read. I wasn't there.
No, I read that too.
Yeah, he did it, just, you know, looking her in the face and said, yeah, you know.
I know. Well, I'm looking over at Mike.
You can go. Thank you for whatever you did for me while you were standing there.
Well, I think it was like to the effect of, from what I read, it was like he was trying to get her to have sex with him and she was not having it. So he's like, oh, here's a nice plant.
I'm going to have sex with this plant.
Which is crazy.
So, this plant could have been you. Oh, God.
It's pretty wild.
But how do you get, I mean, there's got to be something wrong in the head to get off on that. I don't know.
Power.
Like
it's a power.
Power.
She's right.
Totally power.
It's power. Yeah, it's, I guess, power, if you have that much power and money,
you know, being an exhibitionist.
Right. So, I mean, my question is, why does it get called out on in Hollywood, but then Trump gets away with it scot-free? This is what I don't get.
Really good question.
It just doesn't make any sense. Is it just like, because he's in politics, you get more of a pass, or...
I mean, the fact that Trump got elected president and Billy Bush, you know, his career is ruined. And all he did was giggle.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't say those things.
Exactly.
No. And what are you, I guess, what are you supposed to, I mean, I guess you should be like, hey, Mr. Trump, that's wrong, you know? But it's probably easier to just be like, light giggle.
Yeah, exactly.
And just kind of pretend it didn't happen.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Right. And he's.
Yeah, but they're also friends. I'm sure that wasn't the first time he said that.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
It came out that what Trump said on Howard Stern's show.
Yeah. And then Stern said that he has like so much more. And I was reading a whole bunch of stuff from The Apprentice, from producers of The Apprentice, where they were just like, oh, you think that was bad? We have him saying the most atrocious things on air or like racist, behind this racist and all that. But they can't let it out because the EP won't let it out. So it becomes a whole thing. But one thing I was looking at was a political discussion, if you will, more like a fight on Facebook. And someone said, why does Trump get a pass and Weinstein doesn't? And someone, of course, from the right side was like, well, what about Clinton? Clinton, Clinton, Clinton. Because we got to throw that back to Clinton. And I mean, he came up with
he
a good.
He didn't get a pass.
He didn't get a pass.
No.
But also the fact that this is the point that they made. It was like he did it while he was in office and he got a lot of ridicule for it. But for some reason, Trump does it and then gets elected as if what he did was fine with the people that voted for him.
Right.
That's well, the difference.
I mean, that's the weird thing. I think it didn't bother him.
But her emails. But her emails. Just the world doesn't make sense anymore. I don't understand.
So I did get this from my doctor. She said that at least 2 to 3 people a day are coming into her office saying that they have sort of Trump-induced anxiety. And you were talking about it then, too. This is a real thing.
It is a real thing. I just want to say that. Go ahead.
Especially my clients who are like, you know, alternative clients.
Right.
And, you know, everything he's doing is trying to get rid of them.
I know. Well, it's so in the mainstream. Like politics has now become the norm. So you're going to be I feel my body like getting tense all the time after reading a whole bunch of news stories. It's going to happen. It's going to seep into every pore of your body because we're surrounded by it. But I will say that
appointment with me.
I will. I will say that Dylan said that the plant was asking for it. So
Yeah, the plant was provocatively dressed.
I know. Exactly.
Geez.
I think the plant enjoyed it. But
I was telling Dave earlier, I was at the gym, and I was working out.
I know, he's going to the gym.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back into it a little bit. There was a time I took a week off, but now I'm back into it. But I was at the gym, and I only looked at myself in the mirror probably like 22 times during the 30-minute workout. It was cardio. But I look over to myself just, you know, trying to pep myself up a little bit, and I saw this woman across the gym, and I was like, you know, this is kind of an old man gym, old lady gym. You know, it's a lot of old people. But this woman, I was like, oh, yeah, she's pretty attractive. You know, like nice yoga pants. She's working out. I was like, right on. And then as I'm leaving the gym, I hear her talking to the guy, and this man's voice comes out. And I was like, oh, dude, I think I was checking out someone who transitioned, you know. But who am I to judge? Oh. I mean, she looks good. You know, she's got a very deep voice.
She looks great.
But I think it might have been.
And now she's a woman.
Looks great, you know. More power to her. More power to you.
Exactly.
She's a woman. Yeah.
I know.
Or she could have been. You know, she could have been a man.
She could have been.
The voice was very deep for being.
I think you need new glasses.
Caught me off guard.
I think you need new glasses. I think you need to be able to see what you're looking at because I don't think you can see.
Have you guys ever heard of naked yoga?
Yes, I have heard of naked yoga. I have been invited once or twice.
Why?
I know it's actually one of my really good friends went down to Costa Rica on a yoga excursion thing where he was like hired to do photography for it, and it was run by this guy who like pretty much popularized naked yoga in America and then went to Costa Rica to do it, but then he wasn't making as much money as he thought he was, then he just turned into a regular yoga. But you know, there's like that. There's a whole contingent of people who are like, well, let's bring sexuality into yoga, I think. And I think that's what it was.
Really? You think it's about sexuality or about...
Maybe.
I don't think that's
no, I think it was
sexy.
Just freeing yourself from the clothes.
Just free.
I think the three of us,
that are on the air right now, only one of us has actually been to a naked yoga class. So,
really? Well, tell us about your naked yoga experience.
Did you really?
So this was years ago in New York. There was in New York at the time, there was this hot naked yoga, which I think was sort of a gay thing. It was in Chelsea, and there was like a lot of dudes. I never went to that one, but that one, the one that was popular. But there was this underground naked yoga scene, which I don't know how I caught wind of it. But
stalking.
I went a couple times.
I never heard
and I didn't think
story.
It was like, and it was so I thought it was clothing optional. Like, you know, you go in there and if you want to get naked,
it's
you
like
can, but you know, if but you don't have to. And so the class, it's at this studio in like 18th Street or something. And then all of a sudden, like people just like start getting naked. And I was like, oh shit, well, I guess it's not clothing optional. I guess it's like, you know,
mandatory,
totally nude. So, you know, so I do it. It was pretty natural. There, nothing came up, you know, nothing. It wasn't sexual at all.
Nothing came up.
But it was
up.
Just kind of actually like kind of freeing to just be in a room full of other people just naked doing yoga.
There's just a lot of awkward poses. There's just a lot of awkward poses for.
Well, you're not looking at. You're not like, you're not.
And it was also hot. It was all. Did you go to hot yoga? It was hot naked yoga.
It wasn't hot.
Oh, okay, because that would be gross. A whole bunch of just sweaty dudes and girls, just like naked, sweating all over the place. That'd be pretty much. That would be too much.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
I mean, it was liberating, you know.
So, Deb, are you asking if we want to go to a hot naked yoga?
No, hot yoga. Hot anything? No.
All right, so you want to go to the naked yoga?
Deb's going through menopause. She doesn't need freaking heat.
Hot is not fun.
Hot is not fun. No, it's not.
Nope.
Hold on
a
second.
Thank you, Mike.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Deb, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Are we still on the air?
We are. Dave's just they're transitioning.
You know, leave you alone for 2 seconds. Wait, what are you saying?
I said Dave is transitioning into the next person.
I am. There's not. Yeah, no. Well, they knocked and then they didn't come in. I thought it was locked.
Okay.
Yeah. So
probably there for the hot yoga class.
Hot yoga class. Yoga. All right. So Deb, when are we going to get your show off the ground?
I'm still waiting for my microphone.
All right, we'll get you a microphone.
I've heard that before.
And we'll get it for you, and then we'll set up. I think what we should do a test run. And you kind of coordinate your people to call in, and we'll take like a good like 20 minutes out of our show, and we'll dedicate it to like the inaugural Deb show.
Okay.
All right. So we'll plan that out for in a couple of weeks. I'm into it. We'll sit back. We'll help you, but we'll let you run that show, and whatever you want us to do, we're there for you.
And that means you'll be quiet?
Nah. Probably not.
Good one.
I could try to try.
I like that Deb calls in and then you just start talking.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right. So on that note, thanks for calling, Deb.
Anytime.
All right. I'll talk to you later. It was good talking to you.
You too.
All right. Later. Good show.
Good show. Deb's always a good voice of reason. You know,
she is.
Her.
She is.
She's a registered sex therapist.
I know, and it's always good to have that. I think it would be a good show to get her and us to like do some kind of sex talk show, like an old style, like call up with your questions, call up with your concerns, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm an open book.
There's some things I can't talk about, but you know, I will talk about the awkward things.
Sure, awkward things are fun.
I'll try anything once.
Yeah,
you know.
So real quick, we got like 5 or 6 minutes left. One thing
maybe
I did want
to
talk about was you wouldn't do that to a plant. Did you do that to a plant? Did you?
I don't think I'd do that.
Guys are terrible. So did you hear about the Szechuan sauce at McDonald's issue that they were having?
That people waited in line. It was like Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. Szechuan sauce? Let me see if I could find. I put up a clip of it. So basically, Rick and Morty made reference to the Szechuan sauce, and then they had a Szechuan sauce day at McDonald's, but they only had like 20 Szechuan sauces at like each individual place, and they started to riot because of this. These nerds are now out of control. It's gotten totally out of control. All right, here we go.
Not so fast, Morty. You heard your mom.
This is from the show.
To go on, Morty. Just you and me. And sometimes your sister and sometimes your mom. But never your dad. You want to know why, Morty? Because he crossed me.
Okay, take it easy, Rick. That's dark.
Oh, it gets darker, Morty. Welcome to the darkest year of our adventures. First thing that's different, no more dad, Morty. Oh, he threatened to turn me into the government, so I made him and the government go away.
Oh,
I've replaced them both as the de facto patriarch of your family and your universe. Your mom wouldn't have accepted me if I came home without you and your sister, so now you know the real reason I rescued you. I just took over the family, Morty, and if you tell your mom or sister I said any of this, I'll deny it, and they'll take my side because I'm a hero, Morty. And now you're gonna have to go and do whatever I say, Morty, forever. And I'll go out and I'll find some more of that Mulan Szechuan teriyaki dipping sauce, Morty, because that's what this is all about, Morty. That's my one-armed man. I'm not driven by avenging my dead family, Morty. That was fake. I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce.
Nuggets.
I want that Mulan McNugget sauce, Morty. That's my series arc, Morty.
Hell?
If it takes 9 seasons, I want my McNugget dipping sauce, Szechuan sauce, Morty. That's going to take us all the way to the end, Morty. Season 9 more seasons, Morty. 9 more seasons until I get that dipping Szechuan sauce.
So they mention it on the air. I'm not really that familiar with this whole thing. With Rick and Morty. I don't really watch it. I've watched one or two clips of it. It's pretty funny, and it's based on Doc Brown and Marty McFly, and then it has gone off from there. But like the rabid fanness of this thing. So here is one McDonald's when they ran out of the Szechuan sauce.
That sounds like three dudes.
No, it's an entire. I mean, look it up. Go look it up, and I encourage people at home. Here's another dude. He's jumping on the counter.
I'm Daniel Rick. Woman on the dump. I'm Daniel Rick.
He takes off his shirt and starts flailing around on the ground, demanding Szechuan sauce. I don't know what's happening anymore. I really feel like the world has gone topsy turvy, and I don't know what's happening anymore. But the nerds have won. I'm going to say that. The nerds have won.
Ugh, God.
That's where we're at now. But if you look at it, there's riots and there's like thousands of people outside of some in a particular.
I think people are just bored. They don't. I mean, it does feel good to be in sometimes a large group of people all for the same thing.
Right.
Whether it's a football game or a riot or, you know, a protest march. It feels good, you know? Yeah. So, like, these people probably didn't have anything to do, you know? This is, like, the first time they've been outside in, like, 3 days.
There was probably some Reddit thread on Rick and Morty where, like, hey, we're going to go down to McDonald's. And everyone was like, okay, let's go. Let's see what this is all about. But McDonald's turned around and said, we apologize for some. I can't remember what they said. I don't have it up. But they were like, we apologize and we're going to do another day where it's going to be massive. We're going to have all the Szechuan sauce you want. But people now who got that Szechuan sauce are selling it on eBay and for like $1,500 a little container thing. Like they're selling it for a crazy
amount
of money.
If you buy it, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
You know, thin the herd out a little
thin
bit.
Thin the herd out.
Know?
All right. So we're wrapping it up here. I do want to give a shout out to Dylan. I was trying to get him to call in. It was his birthday yesterday. We went to the Aqueducts Casino out in Queens.
Ooh,
holy crap, that was a scene. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Maybe next time we'll get Dylan in, we'll talk about that. It was quite the scene. I've never seen anything like it, and I didn't know that really existed.
Jamaicans and old dudes, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. But, I mean, it was a lot of, like, locals. It was just, like, a bunch of, like, locals that you would think you would find in the middle of New York or the middle of Maine. And it was just, it was weird. It was really weird.
Horse tracks are a weird place, man.
It is. All right. That's it for us. I did